Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. That would be me. Fresh back from a lovely vacation and experimental investigation into the Asian continent, accompanied by two brothers and one sister-in-law. I spent from the 1st of March through yesterday, the 17th of March, in four different countries: Seoul, South Korea, and then a trip to Da Nang, Vietnam, and then a trip to Singapore, the city, the country, and then three cities in China. We went to Lijiang, we went to Hangzhou, and we went to Shanghai. I'm sure over the next few days I will get into the gory, gritty details of the trip, but I want to tell you right now that if you are an American citizen born between the years 1940 and today, you were lied to by your United States government. You were lied to from the moment you went to kindergarten until yesterday. But this is the Truth Hurts program, and no matter how much it hurts me to say it, it's probably going to hurt you to hear it. They have it just as good, if not better, than we do. Now, I didn't take a tour that was all set up by some tourism company or some governmental agency. My brother speaks fluent Mandarin, some Cantonese, some other languages over there. And we didn't go to the tourist recommended areas. We went into back neighborhoods where all the action is, to poor neighborhoods. And trust me, my friends, the poor people there live way better than the poor people here live. I did not see a single solitary homeless person. Not one. And we asked, where are your homeless people? Did they live in tents and cardboard boxes under city streets and overpasses? Do they live in the sewers? Are they out in the woods? Are they down by the rivers? And we got the look from the people there as if to say, what do you mean homeless people? Every person in China has a place to live. Period. Every person. We were invited into people's homes, very wealthy people and very poor people. And the homes were clean and the pantries were stocked and the children weren't starving to death. And the dogs were not on skewers being barbecued for us to eat. Now, you're going to think I'm BSing you, but I can promise you that I'm not. No exaggeration here whatsoever. We drove from the airport in Shanghai, which is about an hour and 10, hour and 15 minute drive doing the speed limit, in an electric taxi. A Lexus electric taxi, and we did not experience the sound of a single solitary angry horn blowing in a car. We did not see a pothole. And as we arrived at night, we did not see a single solitary street light out of service. Every street light worked. Oh, that's right. You're right. We did find one street light out of service on our way back to the airport. The taxi driver picked up his cell phone and dialed some series of numbers and told the Public Works Department there was a street light out on pole number blah, 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 blah on this road. And when he hung up the phone in his perfect Mandarin, he told my brother, that light will be fixed before the night is over. They will send a crew now. The traffic light system is perfectly timed by computer, along with some sort of artificial intelligence, the only thing I can see. You don't sit at a red light at an empty intersection, I can tell you that. And every traffic light that's red, when it's getting ready to turn green, gives you a 20-second countdown to let you know the light is about to turn green. So if you have a hybrid car with the engine that turns off when you get to a red light, when it gets down to 5 seconds, you let off the accelerator a little bit, or you let off the brake a little bit rather, and tap the accelerator, and the entire line of traffic starts moving as if they were all connected by some invisible wire. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not BSing you. Their mannerisms and method of driving scared the living crap out of me, though. They drive offensively. We drive defensively. The entire time we were there, I saw near miss after near miss after near miss. Roundabouts and cars turning and pedestrians walking as if they were all a bunch of ants trying to get back to the ant hill. Not a single collision. Not a one. No angry finger flipping, horn blowing, cussing. Not once. And in Shanghai, about 85% of the vehicles that we encountered were either fully electric or hybrid gasoline and electric. Every taxi that we took, every single one of them was an electric vehicle. You didn't hear engines revving, you didn't hear loud stereos blaring, you didn't hear loud exhausts, you didn't hear people squealing tires and burning rubber. There was no road rage. There was one incident where the taxi we were in was trying to get into the right lane, and the guy in the van in the right lane really didn't want us to get ahead of him. So he inched up, but the taxi that we were in simply backed off and got in behind him. No harsh words were exchanged. No evil glances, no finger flipping, no gestures, no road rage. Now, if they can do it, why the hell can't we do it? I did ask a question. I saw lots of signs for China Insurance Company and this insurance and that insurance. They do have life insurance that they can buy. They have disability insurance that they can buy in case they become disabled or they die. I'm sure there's some sort of car insurance system in place there. I didn't go into the gory details. I was on vacation. I didn't see, and I think my brother said the law is there that you can't operate a vehicle on the roads there that is over 5 years of age. Their economy is thriving. Thriving. And every single person there, to me and to my brothers, appeared to be happy in what they do. Despite the language barrier, and my brother speaks fluent Mandarin, but when you're in Singapore, it's a little bit different. Singaporeese is a little bit different, like a dialect or whatever. And when you're in Shanghai, just like when you're in Hong Kong, different words for different things. Like Cubans speak Spanish, Mexicans speak Spanish, people from Spain speak Spanish, but it's not all the same. They have many similar words, but a lot of what you listen to Mexicans speaking, Cubans go, what the hell did he just say? It's the same thing there between this province in China and that province, and between Shanghai and Lishang, which was a beautiful ancient city that we visited. 1,500 years old, I think this city was. 8,200 feet above sea level. I don't think my ears will ever pop back to normal. Now, as ancient as Lijiang was, Shanghai is extremely modern. I was enamored. I was impressed, completely, totally impressed by everything I saw except for one thing. Oh, and by the way, I couldn't sleep one night, so I wandered out of the hotel in the town of Lijiang, city of about 1.3 million people, so about four times the size of New Orleans. And I walked that day about 12 and a half miles. I was worn out. Got back to the hotel room. I couldn't sleep. So I went out for a little walk and got lost. Did I get lost? Oh my God, did I get lost? I was about 10 kilometers away from the hotel when I realized, holy crap, I don't know how to get back. And I found the city center, the center of town. And I looked around. Every building there looks almost the same in the ancient town. It's the old Chinese buildings that you see in the old movies. Every bit of it. And in my best, please help me, I don't speak your language, English, I asked four or five different people and finally found someone who got me back to my hotel. But I walked through back alleys at 1 in the morning, walked past nightclubs, restaurants and bars, through little neighborhoods where houses were and apartments, and not one single solitary time did I feel unsafe. Did I feel as if I was about to be robbed or stabbed or shot or assaulted or battered? Not once. Everyone I met, I smile, they smile back. Not a devious smile. No one followed me. It was unbelievable. An unbelievable experience, my Truth Hurts program listeners. But we spoke to several people, musicians mainly, because, you know, I play music, my brothers play music, and we ended up in a lot of different restaurants and clubs where they had musicians. As you know, unless you're a David Lee Roth or a Steven Tyler or a Dolly Parton, musicians don't make great money. The people there were so very proud of their lives and their livelihoods, of the way they make their living. They were actually insulted if you left a tip, a gratuity, on a table. They would chase you out of the restaurant and do their very best to tell you, no, 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 I tell you 200, you give me 220, too much, too much. And we tried to explain to them, it's a gratuity, it's something we do. Well, we don't, they said, we don't. Homie, don't play that. They'd give you back the tip. The cab drivers wouldn't take a tip. The bellhops at the hotel would not take a tip and would not let you carry your own luggage. By you doing that, if you want to carry your own luggage, you're insulting them. This is what they do. This is the job that they have, and they are proud of that job. Very proud of that job. So don't insult them. A friendly ni hao, xie xie, thank you, ni hao, hello. I picked up a few phrases, I'm not going to go into it. But I was thoroughly amazed at how the entire population naturally thinks when you're finished with your soft drink bottle, you throw it in a recycle bin. When you're finished with your paper napkin, you throw it in the trash can. There was no litter. I'm not bullshitting you here. Except outside of the nightclubs on Friday night, I saw two cigarette butts on the ground. I looked down as we were walking past and saw them. And the girl at the door trying to encourage people, come to this club, come have a drink at this club, she got this total look of shame upon her face. And she grabbed one of those pincher things, those extended arm grabbers, and she picked up those two cigarette butts and threw them in a trash can and apologized to us in flawless Mandarin. Of course, I didn't know she was apologizing. I had to get my brother to translate. He said she was apologizing profusely because those two cigarette butts brought shame upon her business. And she hoped that it did not reflect poorly on her as the proprietor of that business. Let me repeat this for you. She was embarrassed that someone dared to drop two cigarette butts in front of her business, and that she had not been observant enough to see it as it happened and to remedy that situation immediately. And she hoped that by us seeing those two cigarette butts, we would not hold it against her or her business, because she was proud of her business, proud to represent it, proud to show it off, and embarrassed that there was litter in front of her business. The two cigarette butts, by the way, were dropped by, I don't know whether they were Pakistani or India guys from India, Indians, dots, not feathers. They dropped them. They were probably 10, 12 paces ahead of us when they simply trashed to the streets. I didn't dare litter. At first, I thought it was because, well, Jesus, if I litter, they're going to haul my ass off to a Chinese prison, and that's going to be the end of Steve Z. But it was more than that. Seeing how well these people take care of everything in their country, I would have been ashamed of myself if I had littered. It rubs off on you. And I was only there for 18 days. It rubs off on you, the culture, the sheer happiness these people had. We, my Truth Hurts program listeners, have been lied to our entire lives. When you were in elementary school, remember they told you, the minute you are born, they take you from your mother. They stick you in a government orphanage and a government school system, and they make you wear the same drab doll uniform, and they make you recite their national pledge, and they make you recite their national anthem, and you do everything for the party, and the party gives you just enough to survive on. It's not true. And perhaps there may be some truth to that fact, but look at the United States of America. We force our children to go to our public schools, many of which require uniforms for our students to wear. The same dull, drab uniform, because we want every kid to look alike. Heaven forbid Tyrone can't wear as nice clothes as Tiffany. That would bring humiliation to him. And according to Barack Hussein, Barry Sotero Obama, we got to spread the wealth around. That's the very definition of communism, Barack Obama. That's the very definition of communism, Joe Biden. And in our schools, we used to teach, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And I pledge allegiance to the republic for which that flag stands. One nation, under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Remember that? And they took God out of the pledge, they took God out of the schools, and they spread the wealth around. And they spread this communistic, socialistic idea in the United States about diversity, equity. Equity meaning everybody gets the same slice of the pie, whether they work for it or not, whether they earned it or not, whether they deserve it or not. And of course, inclusiveness. I will say this. In Singapore, a very progressive country, I saw no litter. I saw no crime. I saw everything working perfectly. I saw an infrastructure system that puts the United States of America to shame. Drive through New Orleans, Louisiana, Memphis, Tennessee, Detroit, Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, many, many parts of the five boroughs of New York City. Atlanta, Georgia, San Francisco, California, and any other major city in our country. And I'll tell you this, our streets, roads, bridges, parks, and parkways look like a third world country compared to what I just saw in Singapore and in Shanghai and even in Da Nang, Vietnam. I am not exaggerating. The roads all look like they've been paved in the last 1 to 3 years. We saw not a single pothole. I can't say that. I did say there, we did see one, and it was leading into a tunnel, and it was being worked on while we drove past it. Okay, I did say there was one thing about the Asian continent that I found distasteful. They don't, in their public restroom systems, which are, by the way, everywhere. You don't have restrooms in every restaurant. It's not a requirement. There may be 15 restaurants on one street. And when you leave, you go to the public restroom. The public restroom. 15, 20 urinals in the men's room. But the toilets are squatty potties. Now, if you don't know what that is, a squatty potty, there's no seat to rest your ass on. It's a very well put together tile floor elevated above the ground about a foot. And there's basically an indentation in there, maybe a foot and a half, foot wide, foot and a half long. And you squat down on your haunches. And you do your business because they say it's more natural and it's the way you're supposed to do your business. And when you're done, you press the button and the little water squirts into your area and there's no toilet tissue. Let me repeat that. There is no toilet tissue. The one thing my entire Asian excursion that I found negative, there was no toilet tissue in the public restrooms. Now, in the high-end hotels that we stayed in the wonderful accommodations in which we found ourselves, there were American-style toilets, the double flushers. One button for number one, two button for number two. It's real simple. The number two button, if you're going number two, simply sends more water faster and flushes more efficiently. And they had toilet tissue. But anyway, the reason Asia doesn't have toilet tissue and you don't find napkins on the tables at restaurants is there's too much temptation there, if the napkins are on the table, for people to get greedy and grab 40 or 50 napkins and stuff them in the ashtrays of their cars or the glove boxes of their cars. It's waste. And there's also that temptation to have that napkin fly away. So when we arrived, we purchased a large napkin box, you know, a box of large napkins. And that's what you use. You use your napkins that you purchased because they're not available in any of the restaurants. And if you buy your own napkins, and they're not cheap, you're much less likely to waste them. You're going to be using them more sparingly. And you're not likely to litter. Because you're paying for those napkins. The other thing we didn't see was plastic grocery bags everywhere. You go to a store, you go shopping, you either bring your own reusable bag or you pay as much as 50 cents for a plastic grocery bag. Why? Because we don't see plastic grocery bags
all over the highways, littering up the area. This is the Truth Hurts program.
Got it all up and running again.
Now, those of you who know me personally know that I am a very, very skeptical and cynical person. I've been that way most of my life. And to be told your entire life that the Chinese Communist Party is out to get you and all of these other things, and then you go there and you find out it's not true, it's simply not true, it was an eye-opening awakening for me. Unbelievably so. And I say this because it takes a lot for me to admit that maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was told bad things, given bad information, and I've acted on that bad information my entire life. But here's one that will really blow your mind. Those who know me personally, friends of mine, family members, on social media, how many times have you heard from the Biden administration that the Chinese government will not allow you to use Facebook over there, but they want us to use TikTok over here? You can't get on Facebook in China. You can't get on Instagram in China. You can't get on Snapchat in China. I'm here to tell you, that's utter, complete, total hogwash. I posted live on Facebook every single day. Photographs, videos, and commentary on my stay in Da Nang, Vietnam, my time in Seoul, South Korea, my time in Singapore, and my time in three countries on mainland China. I didn't hear any protests. I didn't see any graffiti. Not a single. I mean, the spray paint industry in China must be bankrupt. They mustn't sell a single can of spray paint. There was no graffiti. The train car, the high-speed rail, the bullet train that we took from Shanghai to, what was the name of that little town that we went to? I'll get it for you on another edition of the Truth Hurts program. It wasn't Lijiang, that was the ancient city. But we took a high-speed rail to Hangzhou. Thank you, Mr. Producer. Hangzhou. Now, Hangzhou, 15, 20 years ago, was a jungle. Just a Chinese jungle town with, 40, 50,000 people. Farmers. And now it's, what was it? What did you say, 8 million? Unbelievable. But we took the bullet train there. And not the maglev, not the magnetic levitated train. That would be the express train. We took a regular commuter train to Hangzhou from Shanghai. We're on the train less than an hour, I think. Right at an hour, 58 minutes, 57 minutes. Reaching speeds of up to 180 miles an hour. And you did not even feel it. The track system, so meticulously put together and maintained, you didn't even realize you were on a train. No clickety-clackety-clickety-clack of the rails, no swaying back and forth. You felt like you were riding on a cushion of gel. It was incredible. But listen, folks, I've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. And please forgive me, because over the next few days, I'm going to be that guy. That guy that tells you everything you were told about China was bullshit. Make it a great day. We'll see you next time.